Hello, this is the Dream Life. It's a journey that takes you to the nicest places you can imagine. Each episode brings an incredible location where you can see beautiful landscapes, have extraordinary experiences, and enjoy magical moments. You'll hear the journey twice. The first time is to dream, and the second time is to sleep. Now, shall we just leave our day behind? We don't need to take any thoughts or any worries with us. Turn away from these clouds and look the other way to a clear horizon. This is the dream life. It's December, and you are in Bhutan on the last day of your trip, about to experience the highlight of your journey. After a week of getting used to the thin high mountain air, it's time to go even higher, up another 1,000 meters to one of the most astonishingly located monasteries in the world. It's a beautiful sunny morning. The air is clear and the sky is a crisp blue. Even the moon doesn't want to leave and it just sits there, punctuating the cheerful sky. You're at the base of the trek, amongst a handful of tourists and even more sellers. There are stalls selling Bhutanese crafts and some selling walking sticks. These might be useful. You go for a closer look. Then you feel a soft prod in your left arm, pushing you back. A mule at your side shakes her head vehemently and steps forward so that you cannot get to the walking stick stand. How funny. You stroke her shaggy, overhanging mane. There's a straw-like arrow decoration sticking up from the mane, with a tag hanging from it. It says 600 Bhutanese ngultrum. This horse is for hire. But you weren't planning to ride up the mountainside on the back of a mule. The mule takes one step forward so that its saddle is now directly before you, and the stirrups dangling at your knee. You look around for the owner and see a man standing quite a distance away in traditional Bhutanese costume, smiling good-naturedly at this persuasive animal. He nods, and you automatically find yourself climbing onto the saddle, abandoning all your previous plans for a hike. Well, this is an experience. The owner comes over smiling. And you hand him the money. He puts his palms together in appreciation. Through his silent gestures, you feel that this man has a good heart. He takes the rope and leads the animal onto the dirt path going up. It's a little bumpy up here, but you realize you have a much better vantage point. And there's no need to check your footing all the time. You enter a forest. There are lines of coloured flags along each side of the path, adding jubilation to a sense of freedom. There's a wonderful scent of pine. And somewhere in the distance, you can hear a ding-ding sound, softly piercing the air. This is so relaxing, and your mule seems happy and confident. She must have done this route hundreds of times. At this point, the owner unclips the rope and lets her walk freely. This equally worries you and excites the mule. The owner chuckles. You hold on tighter as the mule starts to trot. Her energy is impressive. You exit the forest into the bright sunshine and get a glorious view of the green mountain range. It seems so tranquil and alive. The air is vibrant with positive energy, and you want to sit and gaze at this sun-bathed lusciousness. But your mule has other ideas and turns to go up an even steeper path. Your guide chuckles with merriness, following on behind you. Oh, how beautiful! Your sight is drenched with a bespeckled surface of pink and blue rhododendrons. You breathe in the floral scent. Ancient oak trees lining the way have thick roots that push up the path. Together with all the rocks, you wonder how anyone but the fittest can make their way up to the top. Your mule is sure-footed and easily maneuvers over the roots and obstacles. After a while, you catch sight of a group of elderly pilgrims. They seem to be natives, dressed in kiras and goes, which are the brightly coloured stripy national costume. They've got woven baskets on their backs and branch-like walking sticks. Their agility is beguiling, especially considering how thin the air is becoming. Your guide chuckles. Is he reading and laughing at your thoughts, you wonder? The old pilgrims allow you to pass, giving beautiful childlike smiles that show missing teeth. This is infectious, and you grin and nod your head in thanks. They then place their palms together and bow very low, respectfully towards your guide. He walks on effortlessly, seeming to glide over the rocks. The mule now speeds up despite the steepness, and you worry about sliding backwards. You can hear clanging now very clearly, and you put your arms around her neck as she brings you to a relatively flat terrain with a series of colourful cylindrical prayer wheels on sticks and a larger one sitting on a spindle. On the surface, there are mantras written, probably in the Tibetan language. Some natives are devoutly turning the wheels, and the clanging, together with the blessings, are spun out into the world. Then they leave. The mule stops by the very big prayer wheel and bends its back legs as an encouragement for you to get off. You slide to the ground. Then she flicks her tail and trots to the water trough. It's good to feel the earth again and regain control. It's only now that you can relax, and you have the sense of a vast space around you. You stop to look around and realize that you have the most stunning viewpoint, probably in the whole of Bhutan. The village you left is far below you, and all around are steep mountains covered in lush forests and rocky outcrops. It's exhilarating and makes you feel dizzy. Could this partly be the high altitude? You're now at 3,000 meters. Your guide appears with a pitcher of water and offers it to you. You drink the fresh mountain water eagerly. It's pure refreshment. He laughs at your enjoyment, and then he points to some white spots on another mountain. Ah, that must be Tiger's Nest Monastery. Goodness, it's still so far away. It's a series of interconnected buildings with colourful tiered Asian roofs. It looks friendly and magnificent with its gold and red patterning. But my goodness, the most astounding thing is that it's perched somehow on a sheer rock face high above the world. And monks have lived there since the 17th century. How did they bring all the materials up? You notice with slight dismay that the path goes down again before it goes up onto the mountain. You look at your guide. His eyes are focused intently on the monastery. You're surprised that his face looks so serious. It's the first time you don't see him smiling. After a few minutes, he walks away to the side and down the mountain a bit. He sits on a rock, cross-legged, and starts to meditate. His mule trots round to the large prayer wheel, and with her muzzle, she starts to turn it round so that a ding-ding sound spreads across the mountains and down into the valley. This is a rather self-determined mule. You decide to sit too on a boulder, and you enjoy the view as you wait. The sun is beautiful, falling on one side of the mountain, adding vibrancy to the vegetation. You see birds rise out of the trees, fluttering at first, but then they gather together, and in a flock they start to swoop through the air, making beautiful patterns in the blue sky. They then fly even higher than the monastery, marking the sky with beautiful curves and not leaving a trace behind. You look down at the tiger's nest and see, not very clearly, some activity on the steps of the monastery. Somehow, this activity is disruptive to the whole serenity, and you consider looking in another direction. But then you remember that you have binoculars in your rucksack, and you quickly start to look for them. Well, it would be a waste of effort carrying them if you didn't use them. There they are. You hold them up to your eyes. Seems to be an argument between a police officer and a tourist on the outside steps. The officer is shouting, and the man is pulling away, but the police officer is demanding something, which the tourist won't give. Ah, now you see, it's his mobile phone. Maybe he took a picture of the monastery. That's strictly forbidden. In the scuffle, the man suddenly drops his phone. And after a few seconds, you hear a distinct crack as it lands on a hard surface. A large crow flies up, cawing with an angry voice. Then, at a different part of the monastery, you notice two young people climbing onto the railing of a balcony. It seems like they want to get onto the roof. You're horrified. Why would they do such a thing? So risky and disrespectful. But no one is looking their way, and you're far too far to do anything about it. The boy pushes the girl's foot up, and she manages to grab hold of the roof and tries to haul herself up. The boy then jumps up from the railing, pulling his body up onto the roof. It's so slanted, it's terrifying to watch. And the girl is struggling to balance there. The boy holds onto her hand, but she can't quite find the strength to get a secure position. clap startles you. You turn to look. Your guide is still in deep meditation, but he has a deep frown on his face and is chanting mantras vigorously. Did he make that sound? You turn back to look through your binoculars, but for some reason the couple has disappeared, and there are now just two crows on the roof, cawing. Again the sound from behind, and this time the two crows are scared off the roof and fly away. Did they really hear the clap from such a distance? You don't understand. From the corner of your eye, you see the mule trot over and go to stand docilely by its owner. You gaze at the temple. All seems peaceful now. Some monks are climbing the stairs, ready to go for prayer. You wonder if you should walk the last stage to the monastery yourself. This would be a nice accomplishment. You almost jump out of your skin, dropping the binoculars, and you spin around. To your amazement, the owner is no longer meditating, and the mule is no longer at his side. Instead, he is sitting astride a tiger. You can't believe your eyes. The tiger lifts her head and growls. Your guide laughs. And the tiger starts to walk down the hill in the direction of the monastery. He waves to you, and they gallop off together, turning a corner so that you can no longer see them. You're left standing, gaping in disbelief, wondering what just happened. Hear some chattering behind you. The group of elderly travellers have just arrived on the plateau and are very animated. Did they just see what happened too? You have no way of telling because it's clear that they don't speak English. But there's a couple of words that you do understand. Guru Rinpoche. You know that this is the name of the monk who first came in the 8th century, on the back of a tiger, and meditated on the site of the monastery and drove away demons from the area. That's why it's called Tiger's Nest Monastery. The elderly folk are very excited. They're treating you like a star. You have absolutely no idea what to think or to say. After a while, they move on. You go back to the spot where the guide meditated and lie on your back, feeling suddenly very tired from the climb, and the altitude, and the fantastic dreamlike occurrence. You stare at the bright blue sky, and look towards the brilliant white painted monastery, perched so impossibly on the mountainside, and feel very blessed. It's December, and And you are in Bhutan on the last day of your trip, about to experience the highlight of your journey. After a week of getting used to the thin, high mountain air, it's time to go even higher, up another 1,000 meters to one of the most astonishingly located monasteries in the world. It's a beautiful sunny morning. The air is clear and the sky is a crisp blue. Even the moon doesn't want to leave, and it just sits there, punctuating the cheerful sky. You're at the base of the trek, amongst a handful of tourists and even more sellers. There are stalls selling Bhutanese crafts and some selling walking sticks. These might be useful. You go for a closer look, but then you feel a soft prod on your left arm, pushing you back. A mule at your side shakes her head vehemently and steps forward so that you cannot get to the walking stick stand. How funny. You stroke her shaggy, overhanging mane. There's a straw-like arrow decoration sticking up from the mane, with a tag hanging from it. It says 600 Bhutanese Ngultrum. This horse is for hire. But you weren't planning to ride up the mountainside on the back of a mule. The mule takes one step forward, so that its saddle is now directly before you, and the stirrups dangling at your knee. You look around for the owner and see a man standing quite a distance away in traditional Bhutanese costume, smiling good-naturedly at this persuasive animal. He nods, and you automatically find yourself climbing onto the saddle, abandoning all your previous plans of a hike. Well, this is an experience. The owner comes over smiling, and you hand him the money. He puts his palms together in appreciation. Through his silent gestures, you feel that this man has a good heart. He takes the rope and leads the animal onto a dirt path going up. It's a little bumpy here, but you realize you have a much better vantage point, and there's no need to check your footing all the time. You enter a forest. There are lines of colored flags along each side of the path, adding jubilation to a sense of freedom. There's a wonderful scent of pine, and somewhere in the distance, you can hear a ding-ding sound softly piercing the air. This is so relaxing, and your mule seems happy and confident. She must have done this route hundreds of times. At this point, the owner unclips the rope and lets her walk freely. This equally worries you and excites the mule. The owner chuckles. You hold on tighter as the mule starts to trot. Her energy is impressive. You exit the forest into the bright sunlight and get a glorious view of the green mountain range. It seems so tranquil and alive. The air is vibrant with positive energy, and you want to sit and gaze at this sun-bathed lusciousness. But your mule has other ideas and turns to go up an even steeper path. Your guide chuckles with merriness, following behind. Oh, how beautiful! Your sight is drenched with the bespeckled surface of pink and blue rhododendrons. You breathe in the floral scents. Ancient oak trees lining the way have thick roots that push up the path. Together with all the rocks, you wonder how anyone but the fittest can make their way up to the top. Your mule is sure-footed and easily maneuvers over the roots and obstacles. After a while, you catch sight of a group of elderly pilgrims. They seem to be natives, dressed in kiras and gos, which are the brightly coloured stripy national costume. They have woven baskets on their backs and branch-like walking sticks. Their agility is beguiling, especially considering how thin the air is becoming. Your guide chuckles. Is he reading and laughing at your thoughts, you wonder? The old pilgrims allow you to pass, giving beautiful childlike smiles that show missing teeth. This is infectious, and you grin and nod your head in thanks. They then place their palms together and bow respectfully low to your guide. He walks on effortlessly, seeming to glide over the rocks. The mule now speeds up, despite the steepness, and you worry about sliding backwards. You can hear clanging very clearly, and you put your arms around her neck as she brings you to a relatively flat terrain with a series of colourful cylindrical prayer wheels on sticks and a larger one sitting on a spindle. On the surface, there are mantras written, probably in the Tibetan language. Some natives are devoutly turning the wheels, and the clanging, together with the blessings, are spun out into the world. Then they leave. The mule stops by the very big prayer wheel and bends its back legs as an encouragement for you to get off. You slide to the ground. Then she flicks her tail and trots to the water trough. It's good to feel the earth again and regain control. It's only now that you can relax, and you have the sense of a vast space around you. You stop to look around and realize you have the most stunning viewpoint probably in the whole of Bhutan. The village you left is far below you, and all around are steep mountains covered in lush forests and rocky outcrops. It's exhilarating and makes you feel dizzy. Could this be partly because of the high altitude? You're now at 3,000 meters. Your guide appears with a pitcher of water and he offers it to you. You drink the fresh mountain water eagerly. It's pure refreshment. He laughs with your enjoyment. And then he points to some white spots on the other mountain. Ah, that must be the Tiger's Nest Monastery. Goodness, it's still so far away. It's a series of interconnected buildings with colourful tiered Asian roofs. It looks friendly and magnificent with its golden red patterning. But my goodness, the most astounding thing is that it's just perched somehow on a sheer rock face high above the world. And monks have lived there since the 17th century. How did they bring all the materials up? You notice with slight dismay that the path goes down again before it goes up onto the mountain. You look at your guide. His eyes are focused intently on the monastery. You're surprised that his face looks so serious. It's the first time that you don't see him smiling. After a few minutes, he walks away, to the side and down the mountain a bit. He sits on a rock cross-legged and starts to meditate. His mule trots round to the large prayer wheel, and with her muzzle she starts to turn it round so that a ding-ding sound spreads out across the mountains and down into the valley. This is a rather self-determined mule. You decide to sit down too on a boulder and enjoy the view as you wait. The sun is beautiful, falling on one side of the mountain, adding vibrancy to the vegetation. You see birds rise out of the trees, fluttering at first, but then they gather together and in a flock they start to swoop through the air, making beautiful patterns in the blue sky. They fly even higher than the monastery, marking the sky with curves, but not leaving a trace behind. You look down at the tiger's nest and see, not very clearly, some activity on the steps of the monastery. Somehow this activity is disruptive to the whole serenity, and you consider looking in the other direction. But then you remember that you have binoculars in your rucksack, and you quickly start to look for them. Well, it would be a waste of effort carrying them if you didn't use them. There they are, and you hold them up to your eyes. There seems to be an argument between a police officer and a tourist on the outside steps. The officer is shouting, and the man is pulling away, but the police officer is demanding something which the tourist won't give. Ah, now you see, it's his mobile phone. Maybe he took a picture in the monastery. That's strictly forbidden. In the scuffle, the man suddenly drops his phone, and after a few seconds, you hear a distinct crack as it lands on a hard surface. A large crow flies up, cawing with an angry voice. Then, at a different part of the monastery, you notice two young people climbing onto the railing of the balcony. It seems like they want to get onto the roof. You're horrified. Why would they do such a thing? It's so risky and disrespectful. But no one is looking their way, and you're too far to do anything about it. The boy pushes the girl's foot up, and she manages to grab hold of the roof and tries to haul herself up. The boy then jumps up from the railing, pulling his body up onto the roof. It's so slanted, it's terrifying to watch, but the girl is still struggling to balance there. The boy holds onto her hand, but she can't quite find the strength to get a secure position. Suddenly you hear a loud clap from behind that startles you. You turn to look. Your guide is still in deep meditation, but he has a deep frown on his face and is chanting mantras vigorously. Did he make that sound? You turn back, looking through your binoculars. But for some reason, the couple has disappeared. And now there are just two crows on the roof, cawing. Again the sound, somewhere from behind. And this time the two crows are scared off the roof, and they fly away. Did they really hear the clap from such a distance? You don't understand. From the corner of your eye, you see the mule trot over and go to stand docilely by its owner. You gaze at the temple. All seems peaceful now. Some monks are climbing the stairs, ready to go for prayer. You wonder if you should walk the last stage to the monastery yourself. This would be a nice accomplishment. There is a sudden roar from behind you. You almost jump out of your skin, dropping the binoculars and spin around. To your amazement, the owner is no longer meditating, and the mule is no longer at his side. Instead, he is sitting astride a tiger. You can't believe your eyes. The tiger lifts her head and growls. Your guide is laughing, and the tiger starts to walk down the hill in the direction of the monastery. Your guide waves, and they gallop off together, turning a corner so that you can no longer see them. You're left standing, gaping in disbelief, wondering at what just happened. You hear some chattering behind you. The group of elderly travellers have just arrived on the plateau and are very animated. Did they see what happened too? You have no way of telling because it's clear that they don't speak English. But there's a couple of words that you do understand. Guru Rinpoche. You know that this name is the name of the monk who first came in the 8th century on the back of a tiger and meditated on the site of the monastery and drove away the demons from the area. The elderly folk are very excited. They're treating you like a star. You have no idea what to think or say. After a while, they move on. You go back to the spot where the guide meditated and lie on your back, feeling suddenly very tired from the climb and the altitude and the fantastic dreamlike occurrence. You stare at the bright blue sky and look towards the brilliant white painted monastery perched so impossibly on the mountainside, and feel very blessed.